Our first feature today is being read by Sam Elmhurst and is by Emma Brennan, who is harking back to hobbies and activities she loved, loathed, or pleaded to do.
These days, you are just as likely to see young girls taking part in after-school football training as you are the boys. But as a child in the 1970s, there were definite clubs and activities for the different sexes, and rarely the twain should meet. The only exception was in our musical endeavours, where orchestras were usually mixed in order to gather enough of us to knock out a recognisable tune. As I've mentioned before, I wasn't really a tomboy, but I didn't enjoy girly activities much either. Unlike my sister, who was into everything. And as my parents didn't want me to miss out, I usually got sent to the same classes or the clubs. And this, my mum now informs me, was because they didn't ever want me to say I'd not had the same opportunities as my sister, whether I wanted them or not. But I'm thinking in particular of ballet lessons. Now, Mum has often told me the tale of the elderly lady who lived opposite, taking my sister to watch a ballet class. Aged just 3 years old, she apparently sprung up from her seat to join in and was duly enrolled in the class, and she loved every minute of it. Well, consequently, when I reached the ripe old age of 3, I was also enrolled in the class, despite my sister and me being very different animals, and me pleading to be able to go horse riding instead. Well, Mum ruled this fanciful notion out straight away, insisting that horse riding is too expensive and horses have very small brains compared to the size of their bodies, which makes them dangerous in the wrong hands. Well, as a result, we only ever rode horses if we saved up the money or were on holiday. Well, my sister was full of enthusiasm for ballet, and she had no qualms about having a go at something in front of a lot of people. And I, on the other hand, was shy and hated making a fool of myself and thought dancing was a wholly embarrassing thing to do. Nonetheless, I was duly kitted out in my sister's hand-me-down black leotard, thick, itchy tights, ballet skirt, and tiny ballet shoes. I attempted to keep up with the bigger girls, but mostly tried to hide at the back. Now, the teacher, a Miss Titlow, was eagle-eyed and had exacting standards. She shouted the commands in a kind of pigeon French, due to ballet terminology being formalised in France during the reign of Louis XIV. I, of course, did not understand a word of it. And even when I started learning French at middle school, we were taught how to go shopping for a tin of sardines or a bag of sugar, rather than learning phrases such as pas de chat, which I now know means step of the cat. Well, had Miss Titlow given me the English equivalent at the time, I would have realised she ideally wanted us to move stealthily like cats, rather than lumbering clumsy around like baby elephants, as most of us did. And the confusion didn't stop when the class ended. We had a vinyl records for ballet practice at home, which required an accompanying book of terminology with sketches to help us translate. I still recall hearing the crackling caused by the dust on the record player stylus before a Miss Titlow soundalike issued Gaelic instructions. Every time I attempted the pas de chat, the floor would vibrate and the record would jump. And the merriment this caused was far more enjoyable than the lessons themselves. And it wasn't just me that got roped into ballet classes either. Our friend Joanne came along and lurked with me at the back while my sister was the star of the class at the front. Light on her feet, elegant and full of fervour. I cringed if a classmate received a tap on the leg for not lifting it high enough during a vain attempt at an arabesque. But despite our obvious lack of enthusiasm or aptitude, both Joanne and I were cajoled into taking ballet exams. On these occasions, we had to have our hair scraped back into an uncomfortable bun and wore special ballet skirts, neither of which improved our performance in the least. Well, given that the experience had to be endured rather than enjoyed, it is a miracle that I stuck it for almost a decade and was 13 before my parents finally accepted I didn't want to learn ballet. At least by secondary school, the balance and the poise I gained from 10 years of Miss Titlow enabled me to excel on the high beam during PE lessons. And even though ballet was neither my forte nor my choice, there was a social element and a certain amount of camaraderie among us, also Rans, who skulked at the back. Well, as mentioned, as a child, I would have swapped my tutu for jodhpurs in a flash. But an incident in later life convinced me that my mother really did know best when it came to horses. I'd always had a really romantic notion of riding along a beach, but my one and only canter along the sand quickly became more frightening than anything Miss Titlow could have thrown my way. I was on a skittish beast, which bolted, leaving me with my heart out of my eyes, my feet flailing for the stirrups and clinging to the saddle. I genuinely don't think it would have ever stopped if we hadn't reached the shoreline, and I remain convinced it was considering swimming the channel with me aboard, just for the fun of it.